Hour two kicking off here in the Fan Run Studios. Let's hit some hour two headlines. Go ahead, Cam.
All right. As I always do to start headlines, we're going to start with baseball news.
Okay.
I don't know if y'all saw the fight the other day between the Mariners and the Angels. The bench-clearing brawl, basically, where Jesse Winker basically started the fight, and everybody ended up fighting. They have announced suspensions for the people involved in this situation.
I didn't actually see it until like I saw like someone doing like a long Twitter thread breakdown of like how everyone was acting, and like I went through and read that, but I didn't actually see like.
Yeah, I saw on Sports Center on like Sunday night.
I did not.
Because they were talking about, I think, like right after the Ole Miss game there. But yeah, they basically handed out the suspensions, with the most suspensions going to the Angels manager for intentionally throwing
at Winker.
Basically, like throwing, yeah, while warnings were already in place. Winker himself got 7 games. Angels third baseman Anthony Rendon. Got 5 games.
He wasn't even playing, was he?
He's out for the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's hurt.
Assistant pitching coach for the Angels got 5 the games. Angels. Shortstop J.P. Crawford of the Mariners received 5 games. Angels pitcher Andrew Wants received 3 games for throwing at Winker, with the warnings in place. Angels pitcher Ryan Tapera got 3 games. Angels pitcher Raisel Iglesias got 2 games. Just because all these guys were jumping in. Mariners outfielder Julio Rodriguez got 2. Coach Raymond Montgomery of the Angels received 2 games. Got 2 games.
Is he just trying to protect Shohei Ohtani, or what was happening there?
I have no idea, but I guess he
Manny Del Campo. No, this guy is
he there for?
This guy is like a badass.
But
what's he there for? Oh, yeah, he's there for Shohei.
His name's Manny, and he's there for Shohei? Shohei?
Maybe not.
Do they have, like, a Hispanic guy on roster that also has to have an interpreter? Because, like, when I hear Manny,
I think most teams have interpreters.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Like, but when
but
I hear
multiple maybe he does both. Possible.
Yeah.
Maybe he's trilingual.
Maybe.
But, yeah, the Angels catching coach also got 1 game suspension. But, yeah, just throwing out these suspensions basically to everybody that was jumping in on this fight.
Yeah, Manny Del Campo though is apparently just like full on badass, full on psycho.
Okay. Speaking of baseball, Bryce Harper is to have thumb surgery, and he is supposed to be out. They said best case is 4 to 6 weeks.
Was he in the mix leader for MVP this year of the National League?
It was
Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I mean his
got drilled.
Got
the
hit
pitcher,
he's
the pitcher
already...
kept trying to be like apologizing. He's like, I know you didn't do it on purpose, bro. Just shut up. 15 bombs, 318 average.
No, I mean, he's been pretty great.
Yeah.
And I saw some stat yesterday that was like in the last 162 games prior to his injury, he was hitting like 324. With an absurd amount of bombs, absurd amount of RBIs.
I don't know if I realized that he already had 2 MVPs.
One of them was not deserving, honestly. But
the one in 2021? Or the one, was it the one last year? Or the one you're talking about in 2015?
The one where he beat Juan Soto.
So last year?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I realized he had 2 or not. Already in his 11th season.
Jeez.
Man, I'm getting old.
But
people still hate Bryce Harper?
Do who?
Do people still hate Bryce Harper?
I think so, but I think maybe less now.
Okay.
I hate Bryce Harper.
Because he left?
No, I didn't want him back.
Okay.
Which I kind of regret now.
Clown question, bro.
Now that he's played as well as he did. But
hey, you guys kept the loser, Juan Soto. You should have kept Bryce Harper.
I mean, it wasn't. It's not how that works. That's not how any of that works.
I mean, you got to allocate your money somewhere. I know Bryce
Harper. He makes like $1 million a year.
No, I know. That's what I'm
saying.
Before
arbitration.
Yeah, I know. You got to go ahead and start planning for that. Or maybe you should have kept Bryce Harper instead of Steven Strasburg. There, is that better?
Yes, that's okay. Much better because better. Steven Strasburg's played like a game and a half in two. Yeah. He's John Wall.
That feels like an insult to John Wall.
No.
He at least played like 70 games.
That feels like an insult to Strasburg, really. because Strasburg at least won something.
Okay. Nashville, Tennessee, listen up. Stories from a 30-year career, life on the road, and performing in front of the best fans in the world. Tickets go on sale today for the Undertaker's One Dead Man Show.
Excuse me?
Like, you ever heard of like a one-man show? Well, he was known as the Dead Man, so it's like One Dead Man Show.
How do you do a one-man show? How do you do a one-man show?
He's basically going to sit there and just tell stories.
Oh, I thought he was going to, like, wrestle nobody.
Oh, no.
he's just going to wrestle a ghost.
Well, I mean, like, Ric Flair, who's also, like, having his last ever career match in Nashville that same weekend, you know, famously talked about, you know, how he could wrestle a broomstick and, like, put on a good match with a broomstick just because that's how good he was at wrestling. So, I mean, like, I guess you technically could.
That doesn't make you a good wrestler. That makes you a good actor.
Well, that's what being a part of being a good wrestler is. You got to know how to, like, make, tell a story. And, yeah.
Break the broom in half.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so Nashville is going to be the center of the wrestling world at the end of July. You got The Undertaker's one-man show. You got, you know, all kinds of conventions. You got Ric Flair's last career match.
We've always been the center of wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, they're just been pretty, figuring it out. It's been pretty relevant, honestly. You know, TNA was there. And anyways, also SummerSlam. Big events that Saturday as well. I'll be there. Maybe I'll go see the Dead Man Show. Actually, I'm not going to see the One Dead Man Show.
Will you please go see the One Dead Man Show?
I can't imagine that the other people there are going to be people that I'd get it like would.
I'll buy your ticket.
It's not a money thing, Charlie, as much as it is. I don't want to be in a room hanging out with those people for the entire night.
Find you a lady.
I don't know if I want to take a lady to the One
Dead Man Find you a wrestling
show.
Lady.
I don't know if I want a wrestling lady, to be honest. But either way. Cam, you got any more headlines?
Yeah. Deshaun Watson's hearing before the NFL and NFLPA's jointly appointed disciplinary officer is scheduled to begin today. I haven't seen any updates or time, so I don't know if that's actually officially started yet. But that is starting today, so should get some news surrounding him probably within the week, you would think. I don't know if they're going to go all week as far as meeting with him and stuff like that, but he is meeting with the person basically that's going to decide the suspension.
The early takeaway, I believe I read from the – let me see if I get – make sure I get this headline correct. Let me see. All right, yeah, so the NFL, according to Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Cleveland Browns, informed – the NFL informed Deshaun Watson, the NFLPA, and the disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson that they were recommending a suspension of at least a season. Mm-hmm. But that they would consider indefinite. So, I would imagine that's going to be at least a year-long suspension then. The indefinite thing makes it tough, because, like, how do you appeal an indefinite suspension?
Just to get a number, yeah, I
like,
guess, listed.
Like, is that it? Like, hey,
give me something definite, I guess?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah. Like, I appeal the idea that it's indefinite, then you just, okay, you win, it's a season.
Yeah.
Like, does that mean you, like, win your appeal? Because, I mean, like, the worst thing in the world is, like, the unknown, right? Like, I'd much rather know how long I'm suspended, no matter if it's longer. Like, having it just hang over your head indefinitely, it seems bad. But I understand that, like, the idea for the NFL is, like, hey, we're making it at least a season, but then he's going to have to, like, be on his best behavior. And, like, yeah, like, we're not necessarily, if any, you know, more stuff comes out. He's settled 20 of the 24 cases, but that still means there's 4 cases out there.
Yep.
And
the possibility that there are more cases added on top of them. Go ahead, Charlie.
And they just filed against, like, the Texans, so.
Yep. The Texans are now a part of this for enabling him.
Which there's some shady stuff with the Texans, too, if you really start to read all the documents. It does kind of feel like they enabled some of this behavior.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Which, I kind of thought that they made it indefinite. Yeah. Like you said, I guess you can track his behavior and you know, he kind of earns the ability for it to just be a year. But at the same time, I kind of thought that it was indefinite just so they can be like, yeah, we want to suspend you for a year, but if more bad stuff comes out, we want to be able to continue to extend it longer.
Yeah, it might be.
Just so, you know, you can't suspend someone twice for the same thing.
Right.
So, like, if they set it a year.
The old double jeopardy clause.
And then something else comes out about them, like, they couldn't add on to that, really, I guess, unless it's a new circumstance entirely.
That's why I'm asking, like, how do you appeal that?
That's a good point.
Because, I mean, there's talk about appeals. Maybe, you know, there was the talk 2 weeks ago about how they wanted everyone to be on the same page and kind of come to an understanding so there wouldn't be appeals. So they can kind of get the story over with.
Yep.
I feel like maybe at this point, Deshaun Watson, fine, a year's fine, just get it over with. The indefinite, I don't know if they would sign off on that. I don't know.
Guess we'll find out. Couple college football notes here. The Big 12 is targeting Brett Yormark, Rock Nation, COO. Obviously, the
Rock is in the building.
Jay-Z. They're targeting him to be their next commissioner. I reached out to Jay-Z for comment, haven't heard back yet. But, yeah, that's who they are targeting to be commissioner of the Big 12. And ACC football has announced their football scheduling model for 2023, where they're getting rid of divisions.
Yeah, well, look at their schedule coming up. I guess they're doing what? We'll get the format. It's like a 3-3-5, I believe, is what they're calling it. So is that what they're saying? Let's see. Yeah, 3-3-5.
Three primary opponents annually and then face the other 10 teams twice during a 4-year cycle.
Let's see. Yeah, we'll dive into that after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, so I blame Bruce Feldman, Cam. He I saw a tweet where he called it a 3-3-5, but as you have pointed out, it's a 3-5-5. So you have three permanent opponents, primary opponents as they're called, and then, yeah, the 5-5 comes in. You play 5 one year, 5 the other year, correct?
Yep. You're basically – you will play the other 10 teams twice during the 4-year cycle, once at home, once away.
I was going to say it ensures that if you are a 4-year – student athletes that you will at least get to travel to every school in your conference.
Yep.
And at least get to experience every stadium, which seems like a no-brainer. You shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Absolutely.
There are countless Tennessee players that have come here and never been to, like, Death Valley.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There are, you know, the same for, like, Texas A&M. We've gone once since they've been in conference.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't happen if you're actually sharing a conference and feeling like you're actually, like, you know, together.
Absolutely.
Then the top two teams basically, they just basically are going to take, you know, no divisions, and top two teams, kind of like the Big 12 already does.
Yeah, they're doing by conference win percentage. The top two teams, play for the championship. So, yeah, tossed out divisions. You want to hear any of the primary opponents?
That's what I was looking at. I'm trying to think because, like, there's not really anybody in the ACC I really truly care about in terms of rivalries. Like, I mean, I assume that Miami and Florida State are still going to play every year.
Yes. Yes.
But outside of that, like, is there a rivalry that you want to see protected? Like,
North Carolina, North Carolina State makes sense. Yeah. Same with Virginia, Virginia Tech.
I love Virginia, Virginia Tech, and NC State, North Carolina when they both play on that Friday.
They did protect those.
I assume that Duke and Carolina are still going to play as well.
Yes. So they protected those rivalries.
Does Wake Forest get protected? Are they just doing all three, like, Carolina schools for them? Or
Wake gets Duke and Virginia Tech. Okay. But,
Does Louisville get Clemson?
No. Louisville has Georgia Tech, Miami, and Virginia.
Yeah, so let's slow down here. So, like I said, when I'm looking at rivalries, like, Florida State and Miami are still playing, right?
Yes.
Florida State and Clemson still playing? Let's say
yes.
Okay, I was gonna say that's your marquee programs.
Mm-hmm.
At least, like, by name value. Like, obviously Florida State hasn't. If you're Florida State, you're like, damn it, really?
Mm-hmm.
Florida State, not dissimilar from Tennessee, right? And with Clemson being their Alabama.
Yeah, at this point.
Now, granted, obviously Florida State won a national championship this decade, right? So, like, I'm not saying that they have fallen as far as we have. Like, they. At this point, so it's gotten pretty bad the last handful of years, but they are, you know, more recently removed from success than we are. So I'm not going to say it's exactly like Tennessee, Alabama, but if you're a Florida State and you're trying to climb your way back in, it really sucks knowing you're probably going to have a scheduled loss for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every year. So I guess let's just start with Clemson because they still are the premier school in the ACC. Mm-hmm. Who are their yearly rivalries or yearly opponents, I guess?
Still is Florida State, like we just mentioned.
Right.
They also get Georgia Tech.
Okay, I don't know if I necessarily think of them as anything.
I guess close the state proximity, touch. I guess.
I mean, if you're Clemson, you're like, great, I would love to play there. And also, I get to go to Atlanta and recruit Georgia. Yeah. Perfect, yes.
Yeah, for them.
Awesome.
Works out for them.
And then you said North Carolina.
And then North Carolina State.
North Carolina State, okay.
That's always fun.
Yeah, that's always a pretty fun game. That's always a sneaky, close game where, you know, they're usually trying to pull an upset, mm-hmm. and they get close or they actually do it. That's a good one. I like that one.
NC State, guaranteed to miss 2 field goals a game against Clemson.
Yep. Now, if I am NC State, I'm like, damn it. Because we're a team that's like, you know, we can flirt around with 9-3 every now and then, but Clemson every year. Yeah, really.
Well, they got a quarterback that was on Cam's list when you were gone that was on the Heisman doorstep or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. He had pretty decent odds or something, North Carolina State's quarterback.
So we have 14 teams in the ACC, obviously, correct?
Yes.
Clemson number one. We know that. Florida State, where do you rank them, I guess, in terms of ACC programs? Not weighing heavily on history, because obviously, like, Florida State would probably be ahead of Clemson if you're weighing on history. But I'm saying, like,
talking about, like, right this moment.
It's like for the next 5 years. Like, I mean, if you're picking schools that you necessarily don't want to play, or if you're just trying to rank schools in their immediate future.
I don't think Florida State's anywhere above. Four. Honestly,
okay, I was gonna say I can't put them above four, but I can't put them below like eight though.
Yeah, like they should be in the middle somewhere there. Just with,
really just like seventh.
Yeah, because I think you have Clemson.
Who's number two?
I think Miami's in a better situation moving forward.
For sure.
I think North Carolina. I don't know if they're still gonna bounce back and hang around. North Carolina State's was been pretty competitive.
That's where originally I was gonna go with the question. Cam was like, "Where do you rank Florida? NC State at in terms of like program standings?" Like,
I'm honestly gonna say probably fourth or fifth right now. At worst, just because I think Miami's in the right direction.
I mean, maybe even third behind Miami and Clemson, though.
I'd say Pittsburgh may have an argument in there.
We'll see what they do, you know, with life after Kenny Pickett, obviously. What about you, Charlie? I mean, are we...
NC State, to me, should be
are they number three? And, I mean,
maybe?
I'm not going to put them ahead of Miami just because I think... Yeah. You know, with Cristobal, Ball, like, they're going to be better.
And that
like,
quarterback being there right now. Even though we just mentioned NC State has a good quarterback, still just...
I'm just going to put Miami ahead of NC State. Like, maybe they don't deserve to be.
I kind of feel like NC State at three is fair.
Yeah. Like, Vatech.
Yeah. They fell off a little bit, though, over the past few years. They haven't been as competitive as they...
Right, you know, they just hired a new coach, right? Like, didn't they hire... Was it a coordinator from Penn State? Is that who they hired? Is that correct? They hired Penn State's
I don't remember
defensive
name,
coordinator.
Though.
For some reason, I don't remember that hire.
I want to say they hired
Penn State's DC.
Penn State's DC.
But wouldn't that have just been their DC for like 1 year though? Since we just got Tim Banks.
Well, yeah, but Banks is like their co DC.
Co DC. Yeah, my bad.
Because I remember thinking Tim Banks might go back to there. Brent Pry is his name.
Yeah.
Okay, and he was a former player and currently the coach served as the defensive coordinator at Penn State from 16 to 21. Okay, played college football at Buffalo. Like, Vatech has a claim to be top five still, I would say.
Yeah.
If I'm Vatech, like, hey, like
they
we have just the same path as Florida
five,
State. Like,
yeah.
Hey, if you're going to put Florida State in the top six or seven, like, we're just as good as them.
Yeah, I think they're, yeah. I think they're on par
in the last,
right now, pretty much.
Since Florida State stopped playing good football, 2 through 9 has been pretty, like, first of all, it's been pretty random every year. Like,
it's been fluid. Like, we know the one conference or the one division. Excuse
there's
me.
There's been a lot of fluctuation. And
the one division
had seven different champions
in 7 different years. Right.
Well, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. Also, 2 through 9 is just spin a wheel, put them in order, any order you want.
Yeah.
The last six years.
I think if I'm projecting though, I still feel confident that Virginia Tech will get back in the top half.
Mm-hmm.
I think NC State's in the top half. I think Miami is going to be number two.
I got Pitt at four also because I think they got the best draw as far as their opponents.
So they get
arguably.
Boston College, Syracuse, and Vatech. So Boston College, a lower pack ACC team. Syracuse, a lower, if not bottom tier ACC team. And then Vatech, which we're talking about, which is anywhere from fifth to ninth.
Yep.
I was looking, Cam, the other way. Like, okay, so Pittsburgh might – be projected for a good future. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about Florida State getting back, I mean, like,
it's going to be tough.
Two of their three rivals are going to be Clemson and Miami.
Yeah.
That's not different. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to overrate Miami, but I do think Miami is going to be very good.
I get a weird feeling about Miami. And I know that they have, sure, like, a coach that can recruit really well, that has won games at Oregon. And I know that they have a young quarterback that oozes talent. But Miami still, they feel kind of like Texas as of late. They feel kind of like a Florida State as of late, like a Tennessee as of late. They can build momentum in the offseason, but it feels like there's just been something that always prevents it from carrying over through a full football season.
Yeah, we'll see.
Even if it should, on paper, work out.
There are what? How many years ago is that when they were one win away from the national championship, though? Weren't they 11-0 or 10-1 whenever Pittsburgh beat them? Like the last, it was like that Friday after Thanksgiving. Like, didn't Pittsburgh beat them whenever they were like 10-1? That was the same year that Miami had smacked Notre Dame.
That is what happened.
And they were either number one or number two in the country and then got beat up on that Friday game.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, yeah.
That was the first year of the turnover chain, like when they had like the swag back and the U was there. And, you know, like, I just feel, and maybe Miami, Charlie, maybe you're right.
Did they get all the way to 10? I guess they did.
It was either 10-0 or 11. It was either 10-0 or 10-1. Like, I think it was 10-1. I want to say their last game against Pittsburgh, they got absolutely smacked. Or maybe they were 10-0. Maybe what it was, they were 11-0, lost to Pittsburgh, and then got smacked by Clemson in the ACC championship. Maybe that's what happened.
I thought that they had, like, played a pretty easy schedule, and then they lost, and then they got smacked. And then they lost a third time in the ACC championship?
I think their third loss was the ACC championship.
They got as high as number two. No, they lost the Orange Bowl.
What year was this?
They lost the Orange Bowl, so like it was 2017. Like I said, I'm pretty confident they were 10-0 and then lost three games in a row.
Yeah, they were 10-0 and lost three games in a row.
Okay. To Pittsburgh, Clemson, and the Orange Bowl?
Yep.
Okay.
Pittsburgh by 10, Clemson by 35.
Yeah, Clemson and then absolutely demolished.
The Orange Bowl, they got lost by 10.
Who did they play in the Orange Bowl?
Wisconsin.
Okay.
But
so
the schedule.
I just remember they beat down a good Notre Dame team. Like, that Notre Dame game was like a big one. And I thought that Notre Dame's offensive line was going to go in there and dominate Miami. And then, like,
Miami won 41-8.
Yeah. No, I know. Like, Miami's defensive line absolutely demolished.
I don't remember that Miami team being as good as this. Like, I remember watching them and thinking, like, yeah, they're winning games, but they feel a little fraudulent.
They were fraudulent. They were, but they
beating Florida State by four and beating Georgia Tech by one and like beating UNC by five.
But then they absolutely demolished that Notre Dame team that was like top 10 in the country, that was full of offensive linemen.
Number three.
Yeah, that Notre Dame team was full of like NFL offensive linemen.
That doesn't make any sense.
And they absolutely dominated them. The turnover chain was going wild, and it was like, oh, damn, the U is back. And then it wasn't.
Yeah. And, I was going to bring it up, but I think it's a good kind of parallel from there. So is Notre Dame just not playing an ACC schedule anymore?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I have no idea where they're involved in this.
Which, I mean, they obviously always didn't play like a full ACC schedule.
But, yeah, there's not even a couple mention. Of
opponents. Now, you know, like these schools are still going to have, you know, some non-conference opponents. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know.
Playing eight conference games, I mean, yeah. Like, maybe Notre Dame still gets, like, half of them or something.
Maybe. I mean, like, for the ACC, like, it makes a lot of money for them to play Notre Dame, so you would think they wouldn't want to end that, but...
Because I feel like you could, like, I don't know, maybe Notre Dame plays, like, a seven-game schedule every year, and you can almost do, like, a home and away with Notre Dame.
I don't know.
And still get the four-year cycle for everybody going, I guess.
I guess that'll probably be answered in the next couple of days, but just kind of ending up on that point, Cam, like, Florida State, man, that's a long road to hoe. Like, you play Clemson every year in Miami. And if Miami does get back, then you are sort of like what Tennessee would have to face with, like, Alabama and Georgia. Now, again, I don't want to compare Miami to Georgia, but...
You could almost even go to, like, Miami's, like, their Florida, just the team there you can't get over the hump of or something like that. But,
but it's like I'm saying, like, it's the two top teams in the conference. Like, we kind of agree.
And they're still, like you mentioned, they're going to play Notre Dame a good bit.
Probably.
Like, Notre Dame's little friends with benefits with the ACC. Like,
maybe they don't, though. Maybe
playing Florida State.
I would say Florida State probably won't, though, because doesn't Florida State still play Florida every year? So I doubt they play Notre Dame, too. Yeah. I know they did last year.
But isn't Notre Dame included on or isn't Florida State included in Notre Dame's little ACC jamboree?
Sometimes they put them last year, so like I don't know exactly how it works, and I don't know that, you know, if this changes or what. Like if I'm Florida State, I'm like, no, we're not playing Florida and Notre Dame. Pick one.
Yeah,
it ain't happening.
And I doubt they would count Notre Dame as a conference loss. If it's
no, they
being
wouldn't.
Weird.
No, they yeah. wouldn't. And the only year was, you know, basically the COVID year, whenever that counted as conference games. But we all agree Clemson's number one, and we feel fairly confident that Miami's going to get back at least in the number two, number three range. And that's tough if you're Florida State, man, to play the number one and number two teams every year.
Yeah, not ideal.
Like whenever you've scrapped divisions. Like I know Tennessee has to do that with Tennessee and Georgia, or Alabama and Georgia, excuse me. But that's like, you know, whenever you have six or I guess seven yearly opponents.
And we're still, yeah, in divisions still. Like
if the SEC scraps, like, you know, like divisions.
And we and still get
three,
Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah, like I'm going to raise hell. Like you're going to be so mad. That's exactly what just happened to
and Florida
State.
And they try to make you feel better by throwing like Vandy in there. That's what they did with Florida State. They said, well, here's Syracuse.
Yeah.
Hey, but man, still, don't sleep on Garrett Schrader.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Syracuse by default has to be the bottom of it, but hey, like
Syracuse.
Duke maybe. Can you give us Duke?
I mean, hold on. Did they keep the Pitt-Syracuse rivalry, by the way?
They did. They did. Yes, yes they did.
Okay, cool.
Syracuse plays Boston College, Florida State, and Pitt.
Shout out. Like, really? Hey, Syracuse is living today.
They're probably like, hey, we could beat Boston College and, you know, Florida State. We can get them too.
Yeah. Not Pitt, though.
No, Pitt we're probably not going to beat.
They don't beat Pitt. It's actually absurd. Like, we have our thing with Florida. Syracuse has their thing with Pitt. And they figure out ways to lose in crushing fashion.
I'm not going to pretend like I know enough to.
They played every year since
that.
2002, and Pitt's beat them, and Syracuse has won twice.
Miami's got to feel good too. They have Boston College, and then they got Florida State, who they should feel like they're going to be comfortably above, or at least should be ahead of.
Yeah.
And then they have Louisville, who's always just kind of in the middle.
No, yeah, Louisville. Louisville has to feel, Miami has to feel good about that. I mean, like. I don't think Louisville's coming back anytime soon. Bobby Petrino from the youth ain't walking through those doors. Like,
so you don't have to play Clemson as your opponent. So you're just like, all right, cool.
No, yeah, you feel really good about that. You probably play like what the 12th or 13th team in Boston College. The at best right now 7th best team in Florida State, and like the 10th best team in Louisville.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like Clemson again, at least Clemson has to play like North Carolina State, who we say like could be like 4 or 5.
See, for me though, like with the ACC. You talk about playing like Boston College, who's, you said, 12, and like Louisville, who's 10. Sure, that's nice, but Louisville and maybe Boston College, but like definitely Louisville is the kind of program that any random year can be like a 2 or a 3.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Because
the ACC, the middle of the ACC is just so strange every year.
That's true. That's true.
So I don't, unless you're getting Clemson or unless you're getting like Syracuse.
Then it's all going to
be kind
of a toss-up
every year. I'm not
really
putting a ton of stock into it.
I'm buying Miami stock long-term. Mm-hmm. Like I know you aren't necessarily doing that, but I'm buying Miami stock long-term.
Yeah, I'm with you.
At least it gets like the number two or number three range in the ACC consistently. Like I think they're going to be I think every year they're going to be right there in the top 15 in recruiting, top 12 in recruiting, which is going to put them, you know, right there with Clemson in the ACC. I just buy Crystal Ball, and I buy like their NIL collective, so...
There are just too many times at Oregon where Cristobal, as an actual coach,
no, they would choke.
As an in-game coach,
they would choke. Justin Herbert would choke,
leave
or he
me
would
baffle.
Yep, he would do dumb stuff. Like he cost me a lot of money in the Oregon Stanford game when they had a touchdown lead with 2 minutes left, and instead of kneeling the ball, he kept running the ball, and they fumbled and lost the game. Nope, I know he has some head scratching coaching decisions. Yep. That's why I'm not saying they're going to compete with Clemson, but I think they can be like that 10-2 team. That's just kind of right there, second place, and like getting to play in the conference championship. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. So you guys told me that North Carolina State has a big-time quarterback this year.
Yeah, he was there last year. He was pretty good, pretty efficient last year. I don't think he's necessarily like – maybe a first-round pick or anything, but he's a really good college quarterback.
There was he could even end up being a first-round pick. But, no, there was a list that when you were gone that Cam read us where they ranked and broke down every single college quarterback in the country,
in
all
like tiers,
138 into tiers. And They included Devin Leary from NC State in like tier two, knocking on the door of Heisman.
Yeah, I'm just looking right here at like, you know, just Walter Football's like quarterback rankings or whatever for the draft, which the draft is different than, you know, just what you can do in college, of course. But they have him at number six, which like having at number six in some years would be like, ooh, but like,
this is
there's five like top 15 quarterbacks according to them. Like Anthony Richardson is supposed to be like a top 15 pick, and he's number five, and like KJ Jefferson and Will Levis and Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. Like these aren't like ain't like being six in last year's class, right? When there weren't any.
I literally was reading a mock draft yesterday that they put ESPN just put out, I guess last night as well, and I think they had six quarterbacks going in the first round.
They have him projected. I mean, they have Richardson projected first through third, so yeah. And even this guy you're talking about from NC State, Devin Leary, the guy who projected maybe as high as a second round. Eighth on the list, Hendon Hooker, by the way, with a potential third round grade.
The ACC as a whole this year has the potential to have some really good quarterback play. Like going in,
who else they got?
Going into the season,
I
don't think there's a conference that has better quarterbacks than this one, and I don't think it's close.
Yeah.
All right. You told me about this NC State guy,
Sam Hartman at Wake Forest.
Okay, he was a good quarterback last year.
He was a very good quarterback last year.
Tyler Van Dyke at Miami.
He might be the best one.
Is supposed to be like a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I know people will buy into him, but he's a top 10 pick in next year, like 2 years from draft, right? He's a sophomore, correct?
No, he's eligible for his upcoming draft.
Are you sure?
Yeah. He was in the mock draft that ESPN put out last night.
Okay. I haven't seen him pop up on any of these, maybe just because. But he is a redshirt sophomore, correct?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Because I think he was a redshirt freshman last year.
Yeah, I know he was a freshman last year, so I guess he had to have been a redshirt. Brendan Armstrong at Virginia.
Yep. So I think
that was one of two players to average 400 yards passing a game last year.
What? Somebody at Virginia was averaging 400 yards passing?
Yeah. They were slinging around.
And they have a really good wide receiver, too, in Keaton Thompson. Even like Phil Jurkovich at Boston College, when he wasn't hurt last year, was pretty solid.
They had seven quarterbacks, I think, invited to the Manning passing camp.
What about the SEC? What are we looking at?
Louisville is another really good one.
If you want to put Levis
Slovis in Pittsburgh.
There. So we got what? We got Bryce Young. No, I mean, I think the SEC is in pretty good shape, too. I mean, we got Bryce Young.
KJ Jefferson.
Okay. I mean, KJ Jefferson, I don't know about like his NFL prospects, but like Walter Football has him as a first-round guy, but like he's a good college quarterback. Yeah. I mean, again, however you feel about Will Levis, like I don't know.
And then Anthony Richardson, I guess, you know.
Yeah, like people.
I guess Will Rogers.
Will Rogers. Like, that's six good quarterbacks. But I think there's like a drop-off where the ACC, I think there are like nine good quarterbacks, eight to nine.
Okay.
Depending on how you feel about Garrett Schrader.
And I think you'll have I mean, I think the top end is probably similar because as much as you keep seeing Richardson in all these mock drafts and things like that, they also acknowledge that he's basically a wild card right now because he's only thrown 64 college passes. And six of those were interceptions. So they don't really have a good tape on him. They just see the potential there. And it's going to be up to him to actually put it together. He could come out this year and be awful. And he, you know, obviously flies down boards. But
I'm really starting to fall. Even at Virginia Tech, like a name that people have kind of let fly under the radar, Grant Wells is the transfer from Marshall that'll be their starting quarterback next year. And I know, like, yeah, you're playing at Marshall, whatever. But just from a numbers perspective, Grant Wells put up some crazy numbers at Marshall.
Okay.
So they'll throw around a little bit in the ACC this year, I guess.
The Elite 11 finals roster. So this is basically the high school football seniors, the upcoming seniors. I guess the final rosters have been confirmed, revealed, or whatever. You got Nico there. You got 20 guys there. I'm trying to look here. So, like, you got 20 guys. I'm not seeing a lot of SEC logos for those 20 guys. So, of the 20, three are currently uncommitted.
You said how many of them?
Of the 20, three are uncommitted. They don't have a school yet. So, you know, maybe these could be some SEC schools, I guess. But otherwise, outside of the 20, or the remaining 17, if you will, you got Alabama. But when I see him all the way down here, I mean, consensus ranking, the number 8 quarterback, number 54 player overall, so I guess he's good. Okay. And then you got Arkansas, who has the number 323 player and the number 17 quarterback. Those are the only two guys from the SEC besides Nico that are, like, on this list, which is a little surprising to me. Now, I mean, of course, if you want to add in Oklahoma as an SEC school, sure, but, like, I'm not doing that yet until I have to. And apparently Pittsburgh is recruiting another guy named Kenny. Kenny Minchie is, I guess, a Pittsburgh guy. But I was just a little surprised by that. Miami has two guys, which if you're Emory Williams, I'm going to guess you're going to get processed after they just picked up that Rashada guy.
Yeah.
Although, you know, people were saying we were too hard on Florida yesterday with the recruiting. Because Billy Napier did lend him a 4-star cornerback after we got off the air yesterday.
Wow.
I don't know if I jinxed them into doing it or what, but they got a 4-star cornerback, Sharif Denson, out of Jacksonville. He picked Florida over Miami and Florida State. So chalk one up to Billy Napier, who I guess has responded since having to pen a letter to his fan base telling them to just hold on.
Inspired that corner so much.
He got him. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family. And
this segment is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, they want to help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Once again, G3HelpMe.com. Sports on TV have grown over the last decade. We know that sports on TV have, you know, steadily been, really over the last, you know, 7-8 years, the only thing you can really count on when it comes to viewership.
Mm-hmm.
At least like doing big viewership. If you're looking at things to go over 1 million or 2 million viewers consistently, like you might have a couple of like nightly news stuff that people still watch.
Some cowboy soap operas.
You might have some cowboy soap operas. But, I mean, even those, at least the cowboy soap operas, like, you have those for 10 weeks out of the year, maybe. With the news, obviously, it goes up whenever you look at, you know, certain times and when things are going crazy in the country. But, like, for the most part, sports are consistent.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, there are bigger times. The fall, of course, with, you know, the NFL and college football. But just in general, live sports has been the only constant when it comes to TV. Basically, since, I mean, like, you'll have your shows every now and then that, you know, captivate an audience, like Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Like, outside of those two, like, if we really had one that's, like, captivated people, I guess The Walking Dead. I'll give The Walking Dead credit.
That was up Yellowstone. There.
Okay.
Yellowstone's, yeah. I'd
Yellowstone's
say
getting, like,
sense.
14 million viewers.
Yellowstone's getting there, or Yellowstone's there. It's still, to me, fairly new in terms of being a monster like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like Yellowstone wasn't getting that many viewers until, like, season 3, season 4.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it was relatively secret until basically the pandemic, if you will.
But it's emerged now as one of those shows, undisputably.
No, it is. I agree with that.
In terms of actual shows that are on TV, we've got to be missing something, but I don't really know what.
I mean, I feel like every time we look at the most viewed things, like there'll be the most 25 view, you know, the most 25, top 25 most viewed things in America is like, it's always like 23 NFL games and like two random things. Like Oprah sits down with Harry and Meghan. But yeah, so like Yellowstone, let's see, as everything else was falling apart, the season 4 finale drew a series high 9.3 million viewers. So pump the brakes a little bit, Charlie. You can't say 14, it was 9.3. And that was the high. But 9.3 is still a monster number. Don't get me wrong.
I was talking.
This is everything combined, like the streaming and DVR and, you know, like whatever you're doing. It said 9.3, which is up 80. But see, like, it's what I was saying, Charlie. It's up 81% from season three. The season three finale was 5.2 million. So, like, I mean, the growth there, you're not wrong in the sense that, like, it's become a power. 9.3 million viewers.
Are you sure it wasn't more?
I mean, I'm looking at Deadline.com. Yellowstone Season 4 sets new ratings record as Season 4 finale draws 9.3 million viewers on Paramount Network. So, like, I mean, Deadline's a pretty reputable source, and, like, I'm reading it here directly right now. I mean, if you have something different that's saying it elsewhere, like, or I don't know.
I mean, I can't find it now. Okay. I read an article from Whiskey Riff. Like,
okay, well, so I'll take Deadline over your memory of Whiskey Riff. But I'm
which
still,
is fair.
But I'm still agreeing with you that like 9 million does put it in like juggernaut category. 9 million viewers, Charlie, in 2022 is kind of like 14 million viewers 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like The Walking Dead. Okay, so it was the most watched telecast on cable since The Walking Dead season 8. So I guess this would have been 2017, premiered on AMC, and it did 11.4 million viewers. So like we said, Walking Dead deserves a seat at that table as well. But when you look at sports, like that's been a constant. It's been there. Every now and then there'll be a show that grabs you, but sports are continuous. I saw this number come out as, you know, one of these TV reporters. They just talked about the availability of live sports on TV.
Okay.
In 2011, 2012. So these numbers go 21, 22, and then I'm looking at 11 and 12. So basically a decade growth, right? 10 years. We had a total of 14,440 hours of live sports that year. 14,440 total. You know, I'm not going to make you do any math on that. I don't even really know how to quantify that and, like, compare it to something. But 10 years later, 2021, 2022, do you want to take a guess to how much that's grown to in a decade from 14,440? No guesses?
Which is about 601 days.
I'm going to guess it's grown 60%.
You want to do the math on how much that would be, 60%, or you just want me to like try to do it in my head? And
I'm going to say it's up to
60%.
30,000.
Basically put it like 22,000. It's up to 34,597. Okay. 140% gain in 10 years.
34,000 and what?
That's pretty close.
No, you weren't. Cam wasn't off, though. He said 30,000. 34,597 total hours.
All right, let's see. That is equal to 1,441 and a half days.
I don't really know what to do with that, Cam, when you tell me that. Like, I mean, just...
Which is equal to about 3.9 years.
Again, I don't really know what to do with that. I mean, I understand, like, the concept is... We can have something on TV 24 hours a day for 4 years. Yeah. I don't know exactly what that even means. But live sports, like, the coverage of live sports, and I guess over the last decade, I mean, what have we really seen grow? Have there been any sports that became, like, much more prevalent in our society over the last decade?
I'd say soccer.
Over the last 10 years? I mean, I feel like 10 years, like you're probably right, Cam, in the sense of like in America, we weren't really watching the Premier League.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit more soccer.
I'd say that's probably accurate.
Maybe just the coverage
on TV more
of
now,
like,
everything there.
I'm thinking 2014 World Cup, you know, that was kind of a big moment. That would have been, you know, obviously outside the 2011, 2012 range. Go ahead, Charlie.
The coverage of middle tier college football and college basketball, I think, has grown.
Not so much on like cable TV though. Like this isn't even like taken into account like the streaming stuff. This ain't taking like ESPN 3 or ESPN Plus.
I guess that's true, but I feel like there used to be a point, even as late as like 2014, 2015, where Tennessee's game against like an FCS opponent, you had to pay per view.
Okay, so like the SEC Network launching in 2012, 2013 definitely helped.
Yeah,
I was even gonna say like, I feel like games used to be on the middle of the week more and like on like ESPNU more, and like they've kind of pushed those games to ESPN Plus. But the idea of like the Big 12 Network, Big 10 Network, I don't know if the Big 12 has a network. I meant to say Big 10 Network, SEC Network. Those have, like you said, kept games off of pay per view. So yeah, that would definitely play into this. I mean, I know we got a little bit more into hockey, like you got back on ESPN, but like it's just crazy the growth over a decade. Again, from 14,440 hours up to 34,597.
Do you think it has anything to do with people just having more TVs too and stuff? Do you think that pumps the numbers up? I think with TVs getting cheaper, people probably have more TVs than they used to. I feel like that adds to the numbers as far as they're concerned. I don't know, though. I feel okay. like that could be a factor as well.
Yeah, maybe. I just think it's like...
population going up, too. But
I don't know if it's population
could it
going up as
be
much.
Could it be the legalization of sports gambling?
Because it's not like the number of viewers, Cam. It's just like...
Okay.
Like, so like if the population going up, it's not like... It's not like it's got more viewers. It's just that like...
It's like by household, I guess.
It's not even that. It's just the hours that like are available. Oh, it's not even hours watched. It's like hours that are like on TV.
Okay, I got you there.
I mean, I think ultimately it's just like sports gambling is probably going over the last decade. Fantasy stuff's gone. Like the attention that you could spend, and like I just think that it's consistently rating.
Yeah, does that count like all the random little like gambling shows and stuff that they've had?
It just counts live sports, not even sports coverage. Okay. So like,
I can't figure this out. This is driving me crazy. Where do they find all the extra sports to put on TV, and where are they?
I think they
are they on like Bain TV or
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, what league has gotten substantially more games shown on live television?
I don't know. Has there been a bigger like influx on like the what used to be like Fox Sports South and stuff like that? Maybe those kind of channels
probably
got more stuff content than they used to. More rights to stuff they can show.
I still think the biggest thing's got to be the conference networks because, I mean, volleyball counts, college soccer counts, like
ESPN.
These
doing
things
the,
all still
Ocho
count.
Stuff.
Yeah, maybe the Ocho stuff adds some hours a day. I mean, so I think Formula One has risen through the stage. Like, I mean, that's not moving the needle that much, but it's probably an extra, 100 hours for a full season, I would guess.
Yeah, because they throw that on early in the morning, so.
That and that and soccer itself is adding a lot to this.
But from basically September through, April on like ACC Network, Big Ten Network. And SEC Network, there's now pretty much live sports on every day.
Yeah. I would say like those leagues
that's
getting their
be
own.
That's got to be the biggest increase because
the league's getting their own.
We're not necessarily platform. Watching it, but every day during the fall, there's some sort of fall sport on the SEC Network.
Yeah.
And two different afternoon, evening slots. Like you can watch a volleyball game followed by a soccer game followed by a gymnastics match or meet.
So, over the last 12 months, Americans have watched over 1.5 trillion minutes of live sports on national TV, about 75 hours per person. Mm. Which, obviously I think all three of us watch much more than 75 hours a year.
Yeah.
But you have to think about the people that just completely shun it and don't watch any. Hour two in the books. We kick off hour three of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.